The year was shitty. There was some shitty stuff that came out, but there are also some good ones, so we're gonna talk about that. Hello! And welcome! I love it! Okay. To Pop and Circumstance, the podcast where we talk about pop culture things.
Yep.
Literally anything.
I was like, if I can remember words.
Yeah.
Movies, TV shows, mm-hmm. games.
Sports, celebrities, books you anime, name it, whatever.
If it's pop culture related, we probably discuss it.
Yes.
And today it's the end of the year, bro.
Mm-hmm. It's our end of the year episode.
Yeah.
And I'm Eva.
I'm Emily, and today we have...
John!
We got
very
John.
Very quiet, although we're going to get him to talk today because things showed up this year, mm-hmm. even though it was a very hectic year, mm-hmm. very different from what we're used to, but stuff still came out.
Yes.
We still had content to consume.
Yes, and we're going to kind of talk about our likes and dislikes throughout mm-hmm. the year. We're not going to go in any particular order. I think we're just kind of going to go with the flow. I made a list. Emily has a list.
Yep.
John has a mental list.
It's whatever comes to mind.
Yeah.
But as always, how we have been starting our episodes, mm-hmm. it's just... what's been going on in the week? We didn't do last week's episode, so we didn't do the Christmas stuff. Mm-hmm. But overall, what was going on with Christmas was everybody just Christmas things with celebrities. There was a couple other stuff. Ariana Grande got engaged.
Oh, yeah.
Again.
Good for her.
Exciting for her. Mm-hmm. I hope this one sticks.
He sounds like a decent guy.
I also like that she's not in the limelight right now. Like, she's not... just there. She's doing her own thing.
Yeah. Weirdly enough, so I think the quarantine, mm-hmm. like the pandemic was like really good for her.
I think it's good for a lot of celebrities.
True.
Just they need stay to inside the their fuck homes. Out.
Yeah.
Calm down. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. John Mulaney checked himself back into rehab.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know.
Relapsed.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah. I was like, what is the proper term?
Yeah.
He relapsed from his addiction, which it can happen.
Mm-hmm.
It happens to a lot of people, especially during this time.
Yeah.
The holidays suck for a lot of people. So don't ever think that like you're above anybody else.
Yeah.
It's like, or if like you're not worthy of anybody, like of anything, because mm-hmm. you have a tough time during the holidays. Trust me, you are not.
Yeah. And if you are a person who struggles with addiction, like it is a disease, mm-hmm. and don't beat yourself up for relapsing. It happens.
Yep.
It's normal. Anyone would be surprised if you didn't relapse at least a couple times, a few times. So, you know.
Especially like he's not old.
No.
Like he's still young, mm-hmm. so it's very like, I don't want to say it's easy to relapse when you're still like in your youth,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like it also is.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, this is like the news of this week, but mm-hmm. Anthony Hopkins celebrates 45 years of sobriety.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
I'm like, hell yeah.
Good for him. That's really, again, that's really hard stuff.
Yeah, it is. It's every day, you have to take it each day.
Mm-hmm.
It's every day is a
challenge.
Yeah, it will never just magically go away.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like that. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm shivering. I'm so cold right now. Constance Wu,
mm-hmm.
she congratulated her first child.
She welcomed her first child. Congratulations for coming out of my body.
She had her first kid. Also, Emma Roberts had her first kid as well.
Mm.
Everybody's just popping out babies.
I mean, yeah.
We were in quarantine for a while, so a lot of people had babies.
Yes,
they got engaged, or they had babies, mm-hmm. or they broke up. Mm-hmm. That's literally what this quarantine was.
Showed everybody's true colors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was pretty much things like that. Some people obviously have lost family members
mm-hmm.
for the first, or like, not for the first time. Jesus Christ, I don't know how to talk.
But
they either lost them because of COVID, or mm-hmm. just... they lost them in general.
Like yeah.
John Travolta mm-hmm. celebrating the first Christmas without Kelly Preston, but she died from...
cancer?
Yeah, she's been dealing with cancer for a long time, so she's also very young.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
So a lot of people are dealing with that too this holiday season.
Yeah. This is a rough season for everybody.
Yeah. Jesus. Oh, so you know who else got a new baby? I told this earlier. Mm. Josh Brolin. That man.
Oh, yeah.
This is his third kid, I believe. Third or fourth.
I do not know.
He just pops babies out. He's not the one who's carrying them. He can do it at whatever age he is. You know what? More power to you. Ratatouille.
Oh, yeah,
the musical. They announced the cast of the...
It's actually a great cast.
Yeah, it's like Adam Lambert, mm-hmm. Titus...
Burgess, I think is his last name. I was
going to say, don't know how to say his last name.
And, like, a whole bunch of, like, Broadway stars, mm-hmm. too. That's amazing. That's so cool.
Titus is playing Remy.
Yeah.
And then
Adam Lambert is playing his brother, I think.
I don't remember.
I don't know if you have a list.
It doesn't tell me who they're playing. It just says they're in it.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, hold on. Give me a second. So, Adam Lambert is, yes, Emil. So, he is the brother. And then... I didn't know Linguini's first name was Alfredo. I thought his name was just Linguini.
Alfredo, I hate.
It's played by Andrew Barth Feldman. I don't know who that is, but I'm assuming it's a Broadway star.
I think they're all...
Wayne Brady, hell yeah, mm-hmm. is playing Django, but who's Django?
I think Django might be his dad. I think that might be Remy's dad.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't know he had a name.
I didn't either. I thought he was just dad.
Yeah, that's what... Some people, I didn't realize they had, like, a specific name.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm very excited.
I'm excited to see it.
Remy. Oh, he's from Dear Evan Hansen.
Andrew Barth
Feldman.
Yeah, he was.
Dear
yeah.
Evan Hansen.
I think he was like the second. I don't know. He was not the original. Yeah. Good for them.
It's very exciting.
We'll talk about TikTok
later. I can't believe
later.
TikTok made a whole damn musical. But yeah, no, a lot of exciting celebrating the end of the year stuff.
Mm-hmm. We'll just get into it.
Yeah.
Let's see. So earlier today, I was watching the Google year-end review or year-end mm-hmm. search thing because I like to watch those. And it reminded me of a whole bunch of stuff that I totally forgot happened at the beginning of the year.
Oh, God, yeah, for sure.
Like Kobe and his daughter... Like, that whole thing was in January. I remember that day when I found out about it, and then I went to work, and my workplace was a lively place, mm-hmm. but there was, like, people were just down. And in all of the break rooms, everything was just quiet. No one was talking to each other because all the news was on, and everyone was like, oh my gosh.
I think the news broke while I was at work.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what the hell is happening?
Yeah, it was crazy.
Because, like, we are California people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're not, well, I guess California natives, I guess.
Well, we're not California natives, but we're California residents.
Residents. There we go. I was like,
yeah.
It's very big. Kobe's very big here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not like a joke here. Like he's very important to this state.
Yeah.
So losing him, I think the whole state felt it,
mm-hmm.
especially in the Southern California region.
Mm-hmm.
It's very...
And also, the loss of his daughter, too.
Yep. So it was just, like, super wild. Like, the whole thing was just insane.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even believe that, actually. You know what? It was just the start of a crazy year.
Yeah, and then also, I remembered the Super Bowl in February.
With
Shakira and J-Lo, which was fantastic, and everyone loved it. Like, come on now. Shakira and J-Lo, two of the most gorgeous women, so talented, and you just get to watch them, and then the Shakira little tongue thing, blah, blah.
Somebody made a video, and they were like, she unlocked something when she did that. And I'm like, you know what? You're probably not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a wild time.
Yeah. Let's see. Tiger King. I remember me and Baggio and... Did you watch that with us?
Nope.
It was just me and Baggio.
I refused to watch it as a Florida native. I refused to watch that. Also, Carol Baskins lives two houses down from my old roommate.
Ah.
So I'm just like, no, it's too close, man. It's too close.
Me and Baggio loved Tiger King. I remember I first watched it with Victoria at her mom's house, or at her house, because she still lives with her mom.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just like, oh, everyone's like talking about this, let's watch it. We watched the first two episodes and we are shook. We are like in it. And so we come back and we watch it with Baggio and we're just so invested. And that was crazy. We started playing Animal Crossing, everyone in this yep. room. John and Emily were... John started it first.
Yeah. John did start it first, yes. Yes,
and
he did.
You were obsessed with it for a while.
A long time.
And then it was Emily. And your island was really pretty. You put a lot of work into your island.
And then, okay, look, it's because I think it's true. I think Animal Crossing really does lend itself for people who are depressed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not that I'm cured of my depression. I'm still very in that.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's because it's very, not a lot of, it's like Sims. And
yeah.
I can play Sims for hours on end
mm-hmm.
and just it's just meticulous work that you're doing. So that's why, like, Animal Crossing to me, I was like, ooh, yes. Especially, I loved fishing so much. It's very soothing to me, especially when the sharks were around. Ah. I was like, I'm obsessed. I love sharks. I think they're so interesting. Mm-hmm. If I was around one, and I might freak out.
Oh.
But no, I would also touch one at aquariums, like when you get to do like touching pools. Mm-hmm. Oh God, yes, of course I will. But like, I'm also just like, oh, would I want to swim with a shark? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I just loved it. I just love Animal Crossing. It's just so nice.
Yeah.
But then I also got burnt out from
from like so much of it. Yeah.
Yeah. I like did pretty much everything, and then. I really should have done the Christmas stuff, but I couldn't bring myself to get yelled at by my villagers for being gone for so long.
I know, yeah.
I think that's why I haven't touched it, because I just don't want to be yelled at by my villagers, because I know they're going to be like, you've been gone for so long, and I'll be like, I'm sorry, I was more depressed, and I just couldn't look at you.
Like, I didn't want to disappoint you. Yeah. I was actually the very last person to get it. I needed a lot of convincing, because I was why would I buy a little Nintendo Switch for just a game that I'll probably never play, and I actually played with it a lot. Again, it was almost like a good chore to do every day.
It was.
It gave me sort of like a schedule.
Gave me stability.
Stability, yeah. And I love decorating things and making things customized, and that's why I really liked the thing. And I'm sort of kind of getting back to it. Slowly but surely, because I want to literally just demolish the island and move all my villagers around and make it better. And so if you are a person who like deals with like anxiety and maybe depression and stuff like that, and you have the means, I highly recommend this game. It's extremely relaxing. The music is cute. The characters are fun. Your little person is so cute. It's just like, I love it. I think it's fun. I have a good time.
It's a good time. I love Animal Crossing. There's other games. John is the resident gamer of the house. Mm-hmm. Actually, no, we have a new one, too.
Oh, but, yeah.
But John's the one who's here. So, John, what other games came out this year?
There was Doom Eternal that came out, like, basically around the same time as Animal Crossing.
Mm-hmm. Was it good? That? Did you like it?
That was fun. Slaying demons, all that. Mm. All that jazz. Last of Us Part 2, which was very, like, divisive among fans, because they, spoiler alert, kill like the main character of the first game very early on.
Okay, so did it like, well then, so what's the second one?
The second one, because the first one is two main characters. It was the older guy Joel, and then the younger girl, and she like saw Joel as like a father figure.
Yeah. Okay, I remember it now. It's coming back to me.
Yeah. So then he dies early on in the second game. A lot of fans didn't like that, which it's kind of understandable, but. And then the second game kind of just goes back and forth between the girl and then another character that killed the main character.
Oh, so they're forcing you to...
They're forcing you to play as the person that killed your favorite character. So it's like a...
Interesting. I can see why that's divisive.
Yeah.
You recently got Cyberpunk...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about
it. To be fair, though, John did get it for the PlayStation. Normally, he gets games for the PC.
Well, see, I didn't think my PC could run it.
Yeah.
Because mine's, like, a few years old, and it's not, like, very high-end. So I was like, my PC's not going to run it. So I got it for PS4. I pre-ordered it before it came out. And then when the game came out, people were like, oh, it's...
It's kind of shitty.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's kind of shitty on the consoles, so...
So he done fucked up.
Yep.
It's okay.
But we got to see a pee-pee. And it's trans-inclusive, so good for them, I guess.
Just not, you know, console-inclusive. No. Just doesn't run well on the console it was designed for.
They spend most of their time making sure their bodies look great and not the game itself.
Well, it's only on the... Because, like, everybody who played it on the computer, though, from the reviews I've seen of it, they enjoyed the game. Like, the PC players, like, love the game. But anybody, I guess, who's playing it on the actual console is not having a great time.
Yeah, we'll see. The developers kind of did some, like, shady shit with the, like, the release of the game. Because, like, with movies, the developers of games will let reviewers play it early. They'll be like, here's a review copy so you can play it and review it before it comes out. And they only let them review the PC version.
Oh.
So people didn't know about the console issues until after the game came out.
That's really bad on their part. That's kind of dumb.
Shady.
That's kind of dumb.
A little bit, yeah.
Which one is the game that you were screaming? It was a Doom Eternal that you would just scream what the fuck all the time.
Dude, that game's hard.
I just remember, like, because this quarantine season, everybody found new items to introduce themselves to, and I regressed to my old habits because I'm a person of comfort and...
A habit?
Yes. I need things that I already know. But I read the Harry Potter books for the first time ever.
Yeah.
And while I was reading those books, John was playing those games, and all I would hear while I'm reading the books is, what the fuck? No, no! And I'm like, what is going on? I was like, excuse me.
Yeah, and then now Victoria's starting to read them.
Yeah. It's something, I've seen the movies.
Yeah. So
before anybody yells at me.
Yeah.
I had only seen the movies my whole life. I grew up on the movies and everything like that, but I really should have gotten glasses much earlier in my life. I had glasses for a little bit, and then I was like, no, I don't need glasses anymore. I'm fine. But books with small text, like, give me really bad migraines. So I didn't read those books as a kid because they were the text. Little. Yeah, they were just too small for me to read. So I was like, hell no, I can't read this.
Yeah.
So I just never read them. I was like, no, thank you.
And now you have glasses.
And now I have glasses. And they make it much easier for me to read the books. So yeah. I read all of them and I cried my eyes out. Yeah. The books are much better.
I mean, that's the consensus. I mean...
Don't get me wrong. Again, the movies will always hold a very special place in my heart, but the books are always much better.
And then, I mean, again, screw J.K. Rowling.
Yeah, no, no, no.
But we will give her credit where credit is due, where she is a good... writer.
Yeah.
That is it. That is it. Let's see, did I read any books? I didn't. Oh, me and Victoria started reading Rise of Kyoshi. So they're the books that kind of tell you the origin story of Avatar Kyoshi for the Avatar The Last Airbender universe. Victoria really liked it. She likes kind of very historical, like historical fiction, and that's kind of how it reads.
Oh, okay.
And it's very, if you guys are really into action-y, kind of an adventure, like an odyssey sort of book, that's, I think you guys would really like this. I liked it. I'm usually not one of those kind of people. I'm more of like a character-driven thing, and this one was more like a plot-driven thing. Huh. My critique is that I wish they could have spent a little more time on the characters, but that's just me.
Yeah.
But overall, I liked it. Now I'm currently reading the second book.
Did you read any books during quarantine?
Not really. I read Fight Club. I think that's it.
Oh, okay. I mean, compared to the movie. Have you seen the movie?
Yeah.
I mean, compared to the movie, is it good, bad, eh?
It's good. Actually, the author of the book likes the movie more than his own book.
You know, sometimes
like that's a ball. Yeah. No, I think it's
the ending.
It might just been the ending.
Oh, better. I think I have heard that before.
Yeah.
I would say that about like Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't start this year, but I have read the book of Jurassic Park and it was so boring.
It's just a lot of stuff
it's in that. It's so boring.
Yeah, I know.
Let's see. I'm looking at my list.
So even though those things didn't come out this year, it's just what we did during this
quarantine. Yeah, yeah.
It's just, you know, comfort.
Because we were all furloughed. Yeah. We had a lot of time on our hands.
We just twiddled our thumbs for a really long time.
And then we
said, oh, what can we do?
Yeah. And then we had a spark of creation and we started our podcast again.
Yeah.
That was fun. I'm having a good time.
I am too.
Sonic the Hedgehog came out earlier this year.
I had a good time with that movie.
I thought it was great.
I have a very big soft spot for James Marsden, so I will adore anything that he does. Is it better than Hop? Yes. I will say that. His other, where he has to act with an animated CGI.
Wait a second. He does that a lot.
I know. Okay, you know what? Leave him alone. It's not his fault. I don't know why they keep on casting him. Because
he's a good actor.
I guess
he's a good actor.
Yeah, it's like he just has great chemistry with anything.
Yeah.
I'm just like, sure. But I didn't think it was a bad movie. Jim Carrey was great as...
Yeah.
What the fuck is his name?
Dr. Egghead.
There we go. I was going to say Ock, and I was like, no.
No.
That's Spider-Man.
I think that was a really good reintroduction to Jim Carrey. Because...
Did you... It's a movie?
It's a movie.
Is that your opinion on the movie? It's a movie?
It was fun.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of my thing.
I didn't think it was, like, the most amazing movie in the world. No, I had fun with it.
It was cute. Yeah, it was good for what it is.
Quality product placement, too.
Yes. Olive Garden. So stupid. And I think the movie wouldn't be as good if they didn't change the style of
Sonic. If everybody did it bully.
I know. This is the one time did something.
Cyberbullied a movie studio.
I'm glad they did, though, because
it turned out really good.
Yeah, but no, like, they took the time and they fixed it, and it looked significantly better.
Yes.
And the CGI looked good for him. So I'm just like, look, you can do it.
It didn't turn out as ugly as it could have been.
Yeah, I was like, Detective Pikachu came out just fine. Like, that whole movie is beautiful. I can rewatch the movie anytime.
Did Detective Pikachu come out this year or last year?
No, that was last year.
Okay, cool.
But I was just comparing it because it's
just a similar concept.
It's a video game into a movie. And then they're both, like, fluffy-ish.
Yeah, fluffy animals.
So I'm just like, yeah, so you can do one, you can do the other. Just look at your artwork and also just be mindful of what you're doing. Also, touching IP, that's very...
Oh, yeah, beloved.
So it's just like, just tread lightly.
Yeah.
You're never going to please everybody. That's 100%, like... No matter what you do with any IP, you will never please everybody. No matter what. There are people who don't even like Avengers Endgame. That's just, like, straight up facts.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you will never please anybody. But, you know, as long as you treat it with care.
Yeah. I think at least will respect you.
Yeah. So, what else came out this year?
Speaking of movies, Trolls World Tour. I watched it the week it came out. Me and Victoria loved it.
They're part of the reason why the box office broke.
We are. Me and my sisters also. My sisters watched it over and over and over again. They're obsessed as much as Victoria. I really like that movie. I mean, it's cute. It's definitely a kid's movie. And there's a tweet where it's like, there is no movie that has aged as bad as Trolls World Tour.
What sense?
In the sense that just the jokes and the music, it does not age well because the music they chose is not relevant. It's not like popular.
Oh.
You know, just like, because...
Was it literally only popular for that time? For when it came out?
It's not even for 2020. They're not even songs from, like, 2019. They're songs from, like, I don't know, the 2010s. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I mean, again, I liked the movie. I liked the music. But, again, it's very outdated.
Oh.
Kind of. And the jokes are definitely aimed at children. But I didn't realize. I mean, some of the songs are from, like, 2018. There's, like, only a handful.
Yeah.
But most of the songs are kind of old. I'll get into this later, but they actually had, like, a really popular K-pop group. Now, one of Victoria's favorite K-pop groups, Red Velvet, is the K-pop Trolls.
Yeah.
That song slaps, and it gets stuck in my head every time I hear it, and I'm just like, ugh! And also, what I will give props to that movie is that they actually spend a lot of time to talk about cultural appropriation within music, and they critique pop as, like, a genre of music that steals a lot of inspiration from a lot of different genres, but does not give any credit for it, to, like...
Which is hilarious.
Yeah.
Because, like, what's his name? Justin Timberlake is the music supervisor of that fucking movie. Mm-hmm. And I'm like...
They're like... The writers are probably talking to Justin.
Justin, we're talking to you, honey.
Yeah.
Pay attention.
And they said it so nicely.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it in a way that, you know, a kid could understand. Mm-hmm. Where a kid's like, oh, you know, let's say blues or rock, it actually comes from a very important place, like black culture. And that's fine. And that's good. And pop, if you were to make a song that kind of takes from that, that's okay, but don't call it your own thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't say, like, oh, this is just a thing that I came up with.
Yeah,
like,
you always got to recognize where your music is coming from. Like, speaking of music, Dua Lipa came out with an album, Queen.
Oh, so good. A little
Queen, and her album is very influenced by, goddamn, what's the genre? It's 80s, right?
Disco.
Disco, there we go. And she says it, and she's like, no, it's, like, super influenced by this, so, like, you can hear it, one, first of all, it's, like, very,
you
like,
can,
very
you can totally obvious. Dance to this song in rollerblades.
Like, you just know, you with can, a disco when you hear it, you're like, ah, yes. Instantly, I understand exactly what the aesthetic you were going for. Got it. I understand. And, like, she's not shying away from it. She's not like, oh, I discovered this genre.
No.
This is my music. No, bitch. She's like, no, it's literally old music that I'm re-bringing into our society now because I like it.
Let's go on. It's good. Yeah, let's move into music because it is a darn shame that we couldn't go to bars with WAP in our ears. I am so upset. I am so genuinely upset.
Bad Bunny came out with 3 albums.
Bad Bunny, this year. Good for him. Oh, he got COVID. Is he doing okay?
I think so, yeah.
I think he's doing fine.
My mom.
No news is good news.
My poor, very
conservative,
very, you know, traditional Latina woman. Mm-hmm. She heard for the first time ever one of Bad Bunny's songs on the radio, like one of his newest songs that's just in Spanish. And she goes, that song is so vulgar. She goes, how is it on the radio? And I was like, Mom, because no one understands what he's saying because they don't speak Spanish.
Yeah.
I was like, you do, so you know what he's saying. And she goes, yeah, but still. She goes, yes. The music is delicious, but like the words.
He is vulgar, but in a respective way, in a feminist way, and I appreciate that. Good for him.
Oh my God.
Also, speaking of queer allies, Chromatica came out. Yep. Lady Gaga, Victoria wanted me to say she reminded the world that she is queen of the gays.
Yeah.
It is so good. That transition between Chromatica 2 and 911, chef's kiss, a musical genius she is. So much fun. And also, this kind of introduced Victoria. It was like her first taste of K-pop.
Because
Lady Gaga's song with Blackpink,
yeah.
Sour Candy, which is great. And then Victoria and I watched the Blackpink documentary on Netflix. If you guys are ever interested in the K-pop industry, that's a really interesting look into it. And Blackpink is fantastic. They came out with their album called The Album. and it was pretty much, and that whole album was actually introduced in Coachella. Not this year, of course, but like last year. And that's what made them super popular in the States. And now Victoria is obsessed with K-pop. Not obsessed in a bad way, but she just like loves it. Gives her serotonin. Mm-hmm. And she also loves Red Velvet. They're going to disband next year. So she's upset that she got into it right when they're about to disband. But, you know, and also there's Luna. You can tell that we're only into girl bands at the moment.
Victoria only likes female musicians, just FYI.
It just makes her feel better. I don't know.
The only male musician she listens to is Harry Styles.
That's true.
And the 1975.
But that was only because of me. She doesn't do it because she likes it. She does it because of me.
I just want to give her shit for that.
I know. She's going to hate it. She's going to listen to this later. She's like, I'm never going to appear in public again. She also wanted to point out Ariana Grande's positions.
Yep.
Again, she was horny AF when
Look,
she wrote
her
that
man treats her.
I love that tweet where it's like, why does Ariana Grande just date these twinks? These white twinks. So funny.
That's what she's into, man.
It's fine, you know? But That
again, album is also very R&B, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yeah. She Victoria was saying that she at first she was like kind of meh about it, but then she listened to it more and she's like, actually, this sounds very reminiscent of like late 90s, early 2000s R&B.
That's
very,
my favorite.
Yeah, R&B. Nostalgic.
Yeah.
So that was really I liked that. She ended up being one of my top 5 artists of the year.
I can't go by my artist of the year because my brother uses my Spotify as well. So that
dang,
it just,
so it means nothing.
Yeah, it means nothing.
See, my top 5. I think Halsey was my number 1, which is strange. I was going through something. It's 2020. I was going through something. So Halsey's my number 1, and then I think Ariana Grande was my number 2. Beyonce was number 3 because I loved her Black Parade.
Yeah.
Or the Lion King. What the king? What's it called?
I don't know. You said Black Parade, and I was like, My Chemical Romance.
No. It's called Black Parade, but like it's the Lion King album she did. That whole album is so good. I think it came out this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I loved that. That's why she's my number 3, because I listened to that album over and over and over again. Even like to sleep.
Yeah.
And then number 4 was Rihanna, because I was revisiting Anti. I needed to feel good. And she makes me feel so good. Oh, it's kind of sidebar. I wanted to buy some lingerie, and so I went onto Sauvage X Fenty, like the thing, and I almost got tricked into getting into her membership thing.
Yep.
And I just found out last night, literally just last night, that it's kind of like a scam where like they trick you into getting into this subscription where yes, you get like stupid discounts on all their stuff, but if you don't like skip the month or you don't buy something once a month at the beginning of the month, you have to pay like $50.
Oh god.
Yeah, I know. So I dodged that bullet. I was a little upset that Rihanna would do that to me specifically. But I still love her and I will still listen to Anti over and over again. And then I think unfortunately number 5 had to be the 1975 cuz the edgy depressed white boys have to get into my veins once every year, and I don't know.
I like how her depressed Anti, like it's the 1975. That's the band she picks though. she picks that though. That's willingly.
Yeah.
There are other bands out there that she can get that juice from, that hit from, and she chooses the 1975.
I know. I think it's because they came into a time in my life during college where I was just going through something. So
I guess I'll still bully you for it.
Yeah, it's okay. That's fine. Oh. Ali and AJ.
Oh, queens.
Just came out with their explicit version of...
Potential breakup song.
It's the same song.
Yeah, they just say fuck in it.
And shit.
Yeah.
So good for them. Good for them.
Good for them for getting the rights to their song.
Mm-hmm. Stick it to Disney.
No longer owned by Disney.
Yes. TikTok became a thing for all of us in the house. It was me. It was Baggio first.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was me. And then we... got it to, it was like, it's like the coronavirus in the house. We just got it spread so quickly.
No, they literally, me and John were holding off for so long. And then I literally had to download TikTok for this goddamn podcast. It wasn't even my own, like, for my own,
like enjoyment.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, I got it for this podcast. Not that, like, I'm against it, mm-hmm. but, like, I got it. And then I accidentally downloaded it onto John's phone. And that was the worst thing I've ever done. Because now he won't get off. Uh-huh. And here we are on TikTok.
I think the music that came from TikTok mm-hmm. at the beginning of the year was so good. Like, I'll listen to those songs and I'll get a weird nostalgia for the early pandemic. Oh, I was like, oh, simpler times when we thought this would only last a couple of months.
Wow.
You know, and also I think like that around that time we were listening, I was listening to those songs while me and Victoria were going on like food adventures where we'd go pick up food and then eat in our car.
Weirdos.
I like it. Oh, Taylor Swift came out with her Folklore. With
two albums.
Which ones?
Yes, man, she came out with Folklore and then she came out with another one.
Oh, I didn't even hear the other one.
Excuse me, bitch. I have another album coming out now. And I was just like,
I haven't heard that one. I heard Folklore.
Swizzy, how dare you?
I think Folklore was good, but it's definitely too mellow for me to listen to over and over again.
It's Evermore is the other album that she released.
Oh, I see. Got you. Yes.
I am a sucker for like those, because like a band that I really, really like that's very mellow is called The Civil Wars.
Mm-hmm.
They have a song way back when with, the lead singer of the band sang it with Hayley Williams on the like the deluxe version of their self-titled album.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to them beforehand, but I was like, yes. And I was like, if anybody wants to listen to them, listen to that song. Mm-hmm. It's really pretty. But, I just like that mellow female voice. I'm just like, speaking of which brings me to all the emos in the world, all the lesbians too. Phoebe Bridgers, right?
Phoebe Bridgers?
Is it Bridgers or Bridges?
I don't know. I can't tell you. Bridgers?
Oh my God. How dare I mess
up her.
Bridgers. Okay. Wow. Butchered her name. I'm so sorry, Phoebe. Uh-huh. But she came out with an album too. And all like the emo people, anybody who's like emotionally depressed, I'm looking at John.
And he's looking away.
He's like, no, away. Not me. If you're somewhat emotional, that album stuck to you. Mm-hmm. It's very pretty.
It's just really good.
I was going to say, it's very pretty. I was listening to it while I was working today.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very, very nice. Also very, just great voice. So just... yeah.
Thanks.
There's a lot of good music that came out this year, just like spread throughout. Wallows came out with an EP.
Yes.
Slash, like,
They were really, I liked their stuff a lot. Maybe they can be a good, healthy replacement for the 1975.
Yes, they would be a great healthy replacement for the 1975. Yes, support Wallows.
Okay.
The Rex came out with another EP. There's like four songs.
They also came out this year too, right?
They also came out with an album. Those fuckers were like, I'm pouring out music because they were planning on going out on a tour and they were just like, never mind. Just kidding. But, yeah, no, so much music came out, and I was just
I know you guys don't like rap, but Run the Jewel came out with their fourth album.
You say, like, I don't like it, like I didn't hear it over and over and over again, because I live with you. You only heard it over again because of me. Yeah, exactly, because I live with you, so I'm exposed to it. It's not like I don't hate it. Yeah. It was good. Nice. I had a good time with it.
Oh, and then Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion, not only did WAP, you know, take over the world, but Megan Thee Stallion, I think she got an award for her newest album, Good News.
Oh.
And that's a really good album. It's really good. It makes me feel proud to be a woman. I just found out she's only a year older than us.
Oh, isn't please. That? I don't like it when I find out successful people are my age.
I'm so upset because her birthday's in December. I think, and so 1995. So she's only a few months older than me, and I'm so upset about it. I'm just like, why do you look like a whole ass woman, and I look like this pubescent child? I'm so upset.
Yeah, there's a lot of good music that came out this year. I think a lot of people also are creating music right now. Shawn Mendes came out with an album.
Yeah.
Also came out with a documentary. I think that's also a very big trend that we saw on Netflix is a lot of musicians. Documentaries. Blackpink had theirs, Ariana Grande has hers, and then Sean has his. So there's a lot of people, although Sean, I do have gripe with you. How dare you say that Camila is the reason why you wrote all your songs? How dare you? I'm so mad about that. I'm still pressed about that. But anywho, to each their own, I guess. Yeah. You're in love. I support a healthy relationship, but still.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you're... I feel like, you know... Oh, and also Billie Eilish.
She's coming out with an Apple documentary next year.
Yeah.
But she's been working on music this whole year.
I'm so fascinated by her. She came out with that one
song, and it was so good.
I love all her music. I actually was, like, listening to her the other day. I'm so fascinated by her as a person and as an artist.
Yeah. Didn't her brother come out with an album this year?
Probably.
Yeah. I think he did. Maybe an EP.
He's also an interesting person, too. I really liked her music video directed by, Takashi Murakami, who is you've seen his stuff. It's A Pretty Rainbow Flower and a whole bunch of other stuff. And what's it called? You Should See Me in a Crown. I love that music video. I don't know why I love it so much, but I do. I think it's just because I just love Takashi Murakami.
There's a lot of music. So if you didn't listen to anything and just listen to old stuff, trust me, just peek your ears out. There's stuff out there.
Mm-hmm.
Movements, if you're into like a little bit more harder stuff on the alternative side.
Mm.
I love my Southern California boys. So good. Mm. That album, so good. Anywho.
Oh, yeah.
And just had to put that out there. I was like, I love them.
Yeah, they're so good. Let's see. We can move on to streaming services and stuff that we watched on like all the streaming services, really.
This movie came out technically last year. It is probably my favorite movie of the year. Came out last year, but didn't hit streaming services until this year.
So we'll allow
it. I'm just going to say it came out this year for the sake of me.
Mm-hmm.
Portrait of a Lady on Fire.
I really want to see that.
God, is it stunning. The story is... Oh, God. It's just so good. I cry. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. The love story is beautiful. You feel you feel everything that they feel. It's just, it's wonderfully acted. It's just, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful film. I wish they won all of the awards. I wish the Oscars acknowledged them. I'm glad the Oscars at least acknowledged Parasite. You know what? I will say that. Mm-hmm. But I wish Portrait of a Lady on Fire was also on there because that was...
Did the Oscars happen this year? I totally forgot about it. We had an episode about it.
It was at the beginning of the year.
Oh, I totally forgot.
What other streaming service things... Well, I'm trying to think of other movies that also came out this year. Birds of Prey came out at the beginning of the year.
That was so much fun.
It's a fun movie.
Yeah, I think that was the last movie I saw in theaters.
I think so, too.
That was, you know what? Was that
the last movie we watched? In theaters? Birds of Prey or was it Sonic?
It was Birds of Prey.
Okay.
You saw Sonic in theaters?
Yes, we did.
No, I think Sonic was the last one we saw. Because I think we saw Birds of Prey like opening weekend.
We saw, did we not see Sonic opening weekend too?
I think they both came out at the same time.
Oh, God. Well, I was the last one I saw, and I had a lot of fun. That was just a good time.
Yeah.
I feel like if you don't like that movie, you don't have a good time.
Yeah. How dare you? How dare you not have a great time? That movie's so much fun. A lot of color too. And I like films that have a, like, that, yes, they choose a specific color palette, but it's very vibrant. Mm-hmm. But it's not, like, intoxicatingly
vibrant. Yeah, it's a very, like, what's the word I'm thinking of? Purposeful. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a purposeful color palette. It's not
over-stylized. They just wanted to show that she wasn't, you know, so trapped underneath his hold. So that's mm-hmm. why there was color to show that she's, like, she's emancipated she's alive, from yes. him. Yeah, she's free. And yes. then everybody else. And I was like, ah, yes, everybody else. Oh, they're all great. I wish the only thing I had with that movie is I wish we had more of the rest of the Birds of Prey.
Yeah.
I wanted more of them. Because then it'd be more interesting.
Yeah. But then, I mean, that's what sequels are
for.
Yeah,
I was like, it was a great start. I hope there's more.
I want Poison Ivy to come in, and then they get their polyamorous relationship.
I wonder who they'll cast.
It's gotta be a hot woman. It's gotta be. Poison Ivy is like the sex symbol aside from like
Jessica Rabbit. Sorry.
Well, I was thinking of the DC. Aside from Catwoman of the DC universe, like those two are the sexiest ladies in their lineup. Oh my gosh. We watched Legend of Korra for the first time this year. Mm-hmm.
Although it came out before.
Yeah, but we were exposed to it because Netflix was like, here's some good shit. It was your first time watching Avatar The Last Airbender, too.
Yep.
And you liked it?
Yes, I did enjoy. I've, like, seen some stuff of Avatar, because, like, my brother obviously watched it when I was younger. Mm-hmm. But I'd never, like, actually watched it, the whole show. So it was very interesting to watch the whole show. And my brother was like, yeah, why'd you wait so freaking long? And I was like, look,
you know what? I
sometimes
had a great
I'm
time.
Just stubborn and I'm just like, no, you like this? I don't want to watch this.
I get that. I had a great time revisiting my childhood by watching Avatar The Last Airbender. And then I watched, I think, only a half of Legend of Korra in high school. And then, you know, the weird stuff that they put on the internet. And I feel so, it felt so good to watch it as an adult.
Yeah.
Victoria said that it became, Legend of Korra became her comfort show.
Yeah.
Especially season 3. And she like wants to watch it all over again. It's just so good. I bought all the comics.
Yeah.
Of the Korra one. I'm debating whether or not to spend all that money and get the Avatar comics, because there are a lot. Yeah. So we'll see.
They've had longer time.
That's true. Yeah. We watched Bly Manor. We all watched Bly Manor.
Oh, God.
That is so good. We already,
Mike Flanagan, what a man.
We talked about it in our Halloween episode. Yeah. Go check that out if you want an in-depth one, but it's so good.
It's good.
I don't like scary things, but that one felt really good.
It wasn't even scary.
It was kind of unsettling.
It's a gothic romance.
It's a gothic thing, yeah. But it felt really good at the end.
It's a beautiful piece of TV. TV really like shined this mm-hmm, year. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they didn't know this. Well, TV doesn't need, you know, an audience in the sense that like you don't have to go anywhere, you're meant to be in the comfort of your home, right. So like TV did wonders this year. Some things that ended so sad, but
Criminal Minds ended this year.
I know. They've been going for so long. That show has been running for so long.
I found it so appropriate that Garcia had the last monologue, the last, because she's such a beloved character.
Love her.
Good for
her. If it wasn't Garcia, it needed to be Spencer Reed. That's mm-hmm. all I gotta say.
I mean, he was there.
Well, no, but obviously, like, but like to do the monologue.
Yeah.
It needed to be him.
Modern Family ended. Holds a very special place in my heart.
Yeah.
Because that was a family thing when I used to live with my family. We used to watch Modern Family.
Did you watch
like Modern weekly?
Yeah. It was funny though, because I'd watch with my dad and then my stepmom and stuff and my other siblings. And it was funny because my dad and my stepmom were literally, what's the actor's name from Married with Children? What's his name?
Oh, God.
Him and Sofia Vergara.
Yeah, like
Their relationship was literally my dad and my stepmom. So it was like, I don't know if they saw the irony in that.
They probably like, oh, it's us on TV, maybe. But I loved that show. I had genuine laughs. That show actually makes me feel really good to watch. Mm-hmm. Sad that it ended, but at the same time, like, everyone's aging out. Like, the kids specifically, there's really no point in having the show without the children.
Yeah.
So, you know, they all want to explore and do other things. Supernatural ended. Mm-hmm. I was obsessed with Supernatural in, I want to say college. I think it was...
Oh, you were a late bloomer.
I was a late bloomer, yes, because I had this giant-ass poster of Dean and Sam... In freshman year of college. I enjoyed it up until season 5. I tried to watch season 12, because I think season 12 they tried to go back to their original roots, but then it went right back to why I left it, and I was like, eh. I watched the last episode. I wasn't a big fan of it. I'm not going to say what happened, but,
yeah,
you know. I mean, I really liked the ending. I'm not going to spoil the ending, but, like, after the show ends, you have Sam and Dean... They're actors. I forgot their names already.
Jensen Ackles.
Jared Padalecki. Yeah. They are in this gorgeous Canadian wilderness, mm-hmm. and they're talking straight to the camera saying, you know, this was our lives for X amount of years, like decades almost. And
they're the longest running show on the CW. Mm-hmm. They were.
And, you know, they're like, you know, without you guys, we wouldn't be here. This was our life and we were so happy to do it. We're so grateful. That part made me feel really good. And it made me think about back when I was in high school. Oh, wait, no. I was a big fan in high school into college.
Okay, there you go.
No, I was like, wait a second. No, it was. Yeah, because in high school, before school, we would be, while we're eating our cereal, we're watching Supernatural. My dad would come downstairs. He's like, where's the blood splatter? You see the blood splatter. We go to school. Home. Yeah, so that's, whether you guys care about that show or not, that ended. Oh, and also, spoilers, Cass came out as he was in love with Dean and said, I love you, and then he was dragged to hell. That's a discussion for another time. A lot of people were shooketh, to say the least.
I have seen their panel at Comic-Con.
They're fun in real life.
Yeah, but I was just like, their fans are dedicated.
Yeah, their fans are...
But, like, they genuinely do have a lot of fun. They genuinely loved what they did.
I can totally see the chemistry between all of the actors. They love what they do.
I love.
Schitt's Creek.
You're just going to make me start crying.
Schitt's Creek was good.
I found Schitt's Creek this year because I finally said, let's watch it. Let's do it. Let's freaking watch the show. Because
I suggested it.
You did? Somebody did. Well, we watched the show. Me and John were just like, let's do it. Let's fucking watch it. Mm-hmm. Because a friend of ours would keep on saying, David! And I was like, what the fuck is he saying? And then my brother also watched the show. And I was just like, oh, let's watch the show. Mm-hmm. Let's watch the show. We did. And I think it's going to always be one of my favorite shows. It's mm-hmm. genuinely, if you've never seen Schitt's Creek, please go watch it. It's a wholesome show.
It's wholesome. It's funny. But it's, like, the humor, I feel like a lot of adult like comedy is kind of cheap and vulgar and whatever. Yeah. But their comedy was adult, mm-hmm. but wholesome, but also, you know, can be kind of cheeky.
Yeah.
But... You know, they did a really good job.
You say it one more time. There's just so many little things in that show that mm-hmm. were so great. And I think also what helped that show so well is the chemistry of the cast.
Yes.
Because it's such a small cast. They don't really rely on a big group.
Yeah.
And then they're all great. Everybody on that show is phenomenal. So just kudos to everybody on that show. Just Canadian legends, all of them. Mm-hmm. I don't think, are any of them American? Annie? She might be the only American. No, she's Canadian.
Yeah, I think they're all Canadian.
Yeah, so Canadian legends, all of them. Love them all.
And then they really took all the Emmys.
They really did, as they deserve it.
Look. In a year where, like, you know, we were beat down and we weren't feeling too good. This show was just really made us feel really good.
The ending makes me cry so
much.
Yeah, the
ending's really good. Let's see. Victoria and watched The Queen's Gambit with her mother. I watched a good chunk of it with them. I liked it. It was Victoria, she watched the end. I watched the first part. She watched the last part. She said it was kind of slow at times, mm-hmm. but overall, just a really good show.
I know a lot of people became obsessed with chess.
It's really fascinating.
Yeah.
I mean, chess, I don't give two shits about it.
Chess is fun.
But that show made just this world very fascinating. Mm-hmm. And also the aesthetic, gorgeous. That 50s, 60s kind of aesthetic. Very nice.
I love it. Made everybody colors. Look at Dudley.
Yeah.
He had a comeback this year because he's also in the film Devil All the Time.
Yeah.
Mm.
First of all, that's a fucking movie. If you just want to sit there and be have an intense 2 hours, 2.5 hours, oh my god, watch that movie. It's with, I should probably call him by his actual name, but the guy who plays Dudley in Dudley. Harry Potter.
He's so skinny.
He's also a phenomenal actor.
Yeah. I felt like a grandma. I was like, why isn't he eating? Give him food. He's so skinny.
I think that's just his body. I know. Bro.
And then, I know.
What, in Devil All the Time, it's him, Robert Pattinson, Tom Holland, Sebastian Stan. What's his face?
That's the movie where Robert Pattinson does that.
The accent?
The scoop.
Oh, the weird scoop. Oh, God. Everything he does in that movie
is sexual.
Delusion.
First of all, look, this year, if anything reminded me how much I love Robert Pattinson, and I will die. I will die for one man. Just kidding. I love you, John. But I do love Robert Pattinson and just him in that movie. He's a lot. Everybody in that movie is a lot. There's a lot of things going on. Because they also put Sebastian Stan, who has my heart and soul. I've cried seeing him in person. Like, that's how much I love that man. Mm-hmm. But, Jesus, if you just want an intense couple of hours, just watch that movie.
Mm.
It's just a lot to digest. But it's very, like, filmed. Like, cinematography in that film, crisp. Mm-hmm. It's a very crisp movie.
Okay. Like, it's
just,
like, very well done.
Yeah, it's okay. Just, it looked so good. And I was just like, you know what?
I'll let it slide.
I also love Southern accents.
Yeah.
Oh, Bill Skarsgård's in it, too.
Oh, yes.
There you go. I was like, fuck, what is his name? He's also phenomenal, even though he's only in it for a little bit. But he's great. Everybody in the movie is just great. All the performances, phenomenal.
Let's see.
You know what other show ended that you haven't mentioned? The Good Place.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, The Good Place.
Another show that made me cry.
That was also a sad ending. Oh, we won't say anything, but The Good Place is also a really good show.
Fucking Good Place, man. I wish I watched that. I could watch that show not knowing anything about it. Like, for the first time again. I wish so bad, but no.
Another show that either is ending, and either way, it was canceled a second time. One Day at a Time.
Oh, yes. Yep. Yeah.
The disrespect for this show is appalling. I actually do like the show. I understand the criticisms and I'm like, okay with them. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, it makes sense. But as a sitcom, as a family sitcom, I absolutely love it. And I wish it was given the proper platform. I want someone to put it back on Netflix again. Because where did you watch the last?
It's on Pop TV.
Yeah.
Well, Pop TV is where Schitt's Creek is on. So it's
all
not.
Of it? I thought Schitt's Creek was also on Netflix.
Schitt's Creek is on Pop TV, and then Netflix put it on there just so, like, it's when it finishes that they can air it. And I wish they did that with One Day at a Time.
Mm-hmm.
So then at least they would air the rest of what they did on, so you could see what else they've done with the show.
I've seen a few of it, and I want to watch it all in full, because that show,
They only, like, released, like, 6 or 7 episodes. They didn't release a lot for One Day at a Time for, like, the last season, and I'm just like, ugh. Because it's a great show. It is a great show. Again, I think with TV shows, you just need a great cast, and they all need to get along, and then that show, they all obviously get along really, really well, and they tell the story that they need to tell really well. It sucks that it did not enough people, it's one of those things where people just don't care about.
Yeah, like, not enough people watched it.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand. It's a family sitcom, and there are moments where it gets kind of cheesy.
Yeah.
You know, where they have their, you know, theme of the episode monologue.
Yep.
But I like that kind of shit, but they talk about.
That's why I watch, like, Scrubs and stuff. Yeah. I love that shit.
Yeah.
Hello, that's why, because they went to the old formula of TV, and I think people just don't care for that anymore. And I was like, screw you, it's still great.
That show feels really good. And another show that makes me feel really good that they had their finals. I don't know if, I think the final season came out this year. Either way, I watched the entirety of it this year on my block.
Yeah.
I kind of talked about it in a previous episode, but that is my comfort, my go-to show. It's so funny. I love the aesthetic. The music is so good. I just love it. And season four came out and I'm distressed by the ending and I need a fourth season now. They only have 3 seasons. Four seasons. They have 4 seasons now.
Okay. They have a certain amount of seasons.
And she needs another one because they left it on a cliffhanger. And I'm like, what happened to my children?
Did it get canceled?
No. I've looked it up and then I guess they said that they're going to make another season. There's just like an undisclosed date because of COVID. They couldn't really easily
say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, which is fair. I understand.
Other, not shows that ended, but shows that start, like, premiered this year. On Amazon, Upload is a comedy show with Robbie Amell. It's about, like, if you could upload your subconscious into, like, a VR system once you die, which... Very cool concept.
Very similar to Very Black Mirror-esque.
Yeah, it's a very Black Mirror episode.
But it's a comedy?
It's a comedy show.
Okay, cool. Yeah. But it's not existential.
It's a comedy show. And it's... I loved it. I had a great time with it. I can't wait for a season two. It was a good time. The way they, like, kept the show going, very interesting. Because you could, like... It could have been, like, a movie. And you just been like, oh, okay, cool. Got your concept. Like, Black Mirror, it's an episode. But they figured out more to do with it. And I was like, oh, very interesting. Like, what you're doing. And now I'm like, I need another one because I need you to tell me what else is going on here. It was a very good show. Another Amazon show. John and I only watched, I think, an episode or two because it's a very intense show. And I can only stomach so much is The Hunters. With...
I think it's just called Hunters.
Hunters?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Something I thought like there was the... Yeah.
Drop the...
Sorry. Drop the...
Hunters sounds Hunters. Better.
Okay, sorry. All right, Facebook.
I was hoping you...
Listen, I left my Prada pops in the... you pretentious douchebag!
Anyways.
But... damn it. No, I want to do the whole thing. But that show, if you've seen it, Logan Lerman and...
Al Pacino,
there we go. I was like, who's my mobster? It is... very intense. It's about getting Nazis.
I was about to say, I was like, is that the show with the Nazis?
Okay. Yeah, it's the show with the Nazis. The first episode
is a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Did not see that coming.
Did not see
which I hate him. I hate you. Which is why I think we didn't watch anymore. It's just because, like, that was just too much to handle in one episode.
Yeah.
Because, like, I think he mentioned it when we were talking about it earlier. It was just literally the first couple minutes of the episode is, like, a very intense sequence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they opened the show. And they're like, here you go. Step right in. This is what the show is. And I'm just like, oh, my God. But I've heard very good things about the show. Mm-hmm. And I think we should sit down and watch and finish it. But that's a show that came out. Another Amazon show. Second season came out this year. The Boys.
Yeah, The Boys.
Oh, The Boys. That's
the first season was too much for me, but the second season I liked a lot. I didn't really like the first season.
It still was the same amount.
But the first season, I didn't watch all the episodes. I did not. The second season, I watched every single one. I was invested in the second season. I was not with the first. So.
That's me with The Mandalorian, which also finished this year. Because the first season is very slow.
Mm-hmm.
The second season was like, you all know what we're here for.
Yep.
And they gave us everything we wanted. And I was like, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's a space cowboy movie. It's a space samurai movie. That whole episode with Ahsoka. And And Baby Yoda is my love. I'm literally Lizzo's TikTok where she's surrounded by Baby Yoda merchandise. She's like, bitch, you're my mother. That's me. Love. That was so good.
Me with The Mandalorian, though. I was like,
Show me more Pedro.
He did a great job. I was like, yay.
He did a great job. He broke my heart every time he was on the screen. I was like, oh.
I love
space Latinos.
I love that man. Me? What's my... I have a very specific taste. Space Latinos.
Yes.
Yes, honestly.
you guys didn't watch this. This is more of a me and a Baggio thing. Agretzko, I got back into Agretzko. So it's this animated series on Netflix that's made by the Sanrio company, mm-hmm. which makes Hello Kitty. And so it's really cute, like, show of a red panda.
Yeah.
Her name is Gretzko. Retzko, sorry, it's Retzko. And she is just, it's a show about adulthood.
Yeah.
I loved season one because it was just about workplace adulthoodness. And then season two was all about relationship and kind of like everyone in this room is in a very healthy relationship at the moment. But season two is kind of all about when you are single and in your late 20s, early 30s, you get really stressed about, like, what's your life gonna be?
Yeah.
And, like, you know, if you want to start a family, is your time running out?
Yeah.
You know, all that kind of stuff.
The big fear.
Yeah. Season three, which I just finished, it's kind of like, what do you want to do with your life sort of thing. It wasn't as cohesive as the other seasons. Aww. And I didn't really like it as much.
Yeah.
It was fine. I could have done without it. I kind of wish they went with it in a different route, but yeah. I really love that show because it, in a very palatable way, it talks about really stressful adult, like, anxieties.
Yeah.
And I just love it. And then I also want to buy all her merch. I have a hat and I want...
She's very cute.
She's adorable.
Yeah.
I love her. Screw Hello Kitty. What a gross shit. But yeah. So if you guys are into, like, you know, kind of like a slice of life. I feel like season three would have been better as, like, a regular slice of life anime. Because that's what it felt like.
Yeah.
Everything else, I was just like, this is a cute adult cartoon. The season three was just an anime, so...
That makes sense.
That's my critique.
That does make a lot of sense. Is there any other TV show that came out this year?
Oh, I forgot. BoJack Horseman ended this year.
It ended this year?
It ended at, like, the beginning of the year. So it's, like, before the pandemic. So that feels like years ago.
Yeah. I stopped watching that show because that got too real. That talks about adult anxieties I don't want to even touch.
just watch the last season.
Does it hurt?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of it.
God. I didn't say BoJack, yeah.
Oh, I have good news that happened this year. For those of you who are still into Doctor Who, they actually just introduced their first black doctor.
Oh.
She's a woman, played by the actress Jo Martin. She's just this... So they're still... So the most current doctor is a white woman. Yeah. And so I guess it was, I think, in one of the most recent episodes.
The Christmas episode, no?
Yes.
They always introduce the next doctor in the
Christmas episode. Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah, so that's what happened. So, but the thing is about this one, I only got very little information from Victoria because she used to be into Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Was that in this episode, usually the doctors know each other.
Mm-hmm.
But these two doctors did not know each other.
Oh.
And so that's like, everyone's kind of like,
Excuse me.
Are you going to do? What are you going to do about this?
Yeah.
So that's really interesting and good for her. She looks so cute. Like, I think she looks like a really fun doctor. I think she's going to do a really good job.
A show, how could we not talk about this show that me and John literally just finished?
Oh, a teacher?
A teacher.
Oh.
It's on Hulu, but it's from FX.
Mm-hmm.
Kate Mara, Nick Robinson. First of all, wonderful acting. Nick Robinson, phenomenal acting.
Yes. Oh, my God.
My boy.
The last episode, his face acting is so good. I feel like you can tell a good actor mm-hmm. if they're not doing shit.
Anything.
They're not doing anything.
But you feel it all.
No, continue.
But that show, first of all, they do put trigger warnings before every episode because mm-hmm. it is a very triggering show.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know what it's about a teacher who takes advantage of a student. And the trigger warning is like, it shows situations of grooming and...
Being probably groping.
I mean...
Yeah. But, you know.
And, you know.
That's not the terms they used. Yeah. But, and those situations... And the show, I was scared at first, and like mm-hmm. I told Eva about it. I was excited to watch it because I was like,
you love the actors.
I love Nick,
yeah,
and I love Kate, so I was like, I'm excited. Mm-hmm. But I was also just because the topic itself is very, you don't want to do that wrong. Yeah. And you could tread on a bad line where it looks like you're romanticizing it.
Right.
And I was scared the show was going to do that. But no joke, me and John, the whole time we were watching the show, it was just me yelling.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was me very loudly yelling.
And then when I jumped in, I started yelling.
And it wasn't, you were never siding with, Kate Mara plays the teacher. Mm-hmm. You were never siding with her. Mm-hmm. They did a wonderful job of showing what she was doing. Yeah. And then you saw the show through his eyes.
Yeah, you see it as manipulative behavior. Well,
would you say you see it through his eyes or through a third person perspective?
Probably a third person perspective.
So you see it more from his friend's side, where they're just like, look, bro, like, this is fucked up.
Yeah.
So the show is, it's just, it's very well done. Mm-hmm. And then the last episode.
Satisfying as fuck.
Because I was very stressed that they were just going to let her get away with everything. Because, like, they jumped to the future. Because, mm-hmm. like, the second to last episode, he finally admits that he needs help. Mm-hmm. Because what happens a lot of time with men who get abused by women, they don't acknowledge that they are being abused by women.
That they are. Yeah, exactly.
Because society will usually not see it that way either. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's that whole, we live in a patriarchal society, so men are
not victims of women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's this whole thing. And then he finally admits that he needs help. So then the last episode is 10 years later. And then just, Jesus, I was so scared. And I was just like, are you kidding me? We're not going to undo all the
work we went through.
Yeah, all the work he went through. Obviously, they don't show it all. Mm-hmm. But, and then he gets to say his piece. I'm not going to spoil it if you want to see it, but he gets to say his piece.
It's so cathartic.
And it was so powerful, and it was so good. And a really good thing that the show did that I really applaud them for doing is they had
a PSA.
Well, they also had a psychologist on the show. To help them with the show because they had them help Nick to explain to Nick that a lot of men who deal with this internalize what they're doing or internalize what feeling, is going on. Yeah. And they don't even realize what has happened to them until way later in life. Mm-hmm. So the show took a lot of like steps to make sure that they're not portraying this the wrong way. And then they had the PSA at the end. Mm-hmm. If anyone you know
is being groomed or if you need any help,
call or this. If you need any help, there's a hotline and everything like that and a website for you to go to. And I was just, they're not long episodes. They're literally like 26 minutes each. So you could binge it very easily. We had to wait weekly because they were premiering that way. So it finally ended today. Mm-hmm. So good. I think everybody should watch it. Obviously, if you can stomach it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it was very good.
Yeah.
I got very angry. It will make you feel a lot of emotions, but it's good.
It's sure. A good show.
I'm just happy that was there. Other shows that also came out this year. The one that literally just came out is Bridgerton.
Oh, I saw the trailer of that today. I'm not super into like romance stuff, but if you guys are super into like that romance scandal drama shit, that is right up your alley.
What came out that I really enjoyed? Oh, the show got canceled. It literally is only out for a season. Is the show with the girl from It. The girl and the boy from It.
I don't, what is it called? It's like, I don't like, what is it called?
It is a long title.
It's, I don't.
It's something very long.
It's based off of a graphic novel.
The guy's other show was End of the Fucking World.
Oh, they have very similar vibes to them.
They do.
Yeah.
But the show, once you guys
it's called I'm Not Okay With This.
I Am Not Okay With This, yeah. So that's based off of a graphic novel, and I heard the graphic novel is so good.
The show is good. It just didn't get that many people to watch it.
I think also, but the comic kind of ends the same place where they ended, so, you know, I think it's a good idea for them to not have any more because I don't want it to get into a Handmaid's Tale space.
Oh, true. Where there's no more
story to tell.
Yeah. There was also
the book for Handmaid's Tale is like 300 pages long.
Yeah, it ends literally when she gets in the van. And you're just like, "Oh no, where'd she go?" And then the book is like, "We don't know where she went. We don't know where she go." And you're just like, "Oh no!" And then in the the show is like, "This is what happens." And the best. I know The Handmaid's Tale came out a while ago, but I think a really good, the first season is great. If you just want to know, like, see a live version of the book, just watch the first season. The rest of the seasons, someone reviewed it very nicely saying, you get a lot of work for no payoff. Ooh. It's just a lot of work and then you regress back. It's a vicious cycle that could be on purpose.
Yeah.
As like a metaphor for life in an oppressive world, but it's very unsatisfying for a viewer.
The Great also premiered this year. It's about the it's that one queen. It's a Russian queen.
Yeah. I like those actors that are in that show.
Nicholas Holt. Yeah. And Elle Fanning. Yes.
Yes.
Chef's kiss. She's so cute.
I think she's adorable.
A lot of people said that show is really, really good. Mm-hmm. It's on my list of shows to watch. I just haven't had the time to do it. Mm-hmm. I have time. I just don't want to.
Yeah.
Not yet. I'm not invested yet.
Yeah.
Another show that The Crown's. The newest season of The Crown.
With Diana. Oh, everyone's been going.
Everybody's like, bitch. Justice for Diana.
I didn't watch the documentary, although I should. I actually just recently, it was yesterday, I listened to the Dateline episode about Princess Diana. And I don't give two shits about the royalty, but the whole Princess Diana thing, and now with Harry and Meghan Markle is so fascinating to me, and I'm like, it makes me solidify my stance on good on Meghan and Harry for leaving that toxic piece of shit, because I feel like if they stayed, Meghan probably would have fallen into the same horrible cycle as Harry's mom, Diana. I don't know why I said Harry's mom, but Diana, because, you know, they are ruthless and racist over there. So
true. Cheddar's side.
I know.
I felt that, Cheddar.
I know. Racism sucks.
Yep.
The monarchy sucks. That's why we got rid of them, Cheddar.
The Lovecraft Country.
I really want to watch that show.
I really want to watch that, too. It's on HBO Max. Yeah. It looks very, very, like...
just good.
Yeah, it looks so good. Other movies that came out this year, too. Invisible Man.
Mm.
Very good. I liked that movie a lot.
I'll still watch it. I keep forgetting to watch it. I keep forgetting it's a book, a movie that I could see.
Yes. You could watch it. I think it'll also stress you out, but I think you can watch it. Some other films that came out this year, Borat 2. John, you watched that.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was pretty good. I don't know if it was better than the first. A lot of people said they liked it better than the first one, but I don't know. It was good.
Is it because of the... I remember watching like a behind-the-scenes thing. I don't know if it was... I think it might have been on Stephen Colbert, where Sasha was doing an interview with Stephen, and they were showing behind-the-scenes footage of when Sasha / Borat was... in his character at a Trump rally, and was almost practically driven away by an angry mob, and he safely got into his trailer, and he had to wear literally like a bulletproof jacket. Like, it's so he was like, I literally, it's like going into a war zone at a fucking Trump rally in suburban America, like, because he's just, you know, playing jokes, and all these people are like, you're talking about shit, and they're gonna kill you. Like, that's so scary.
Yeah.
I think that movie, you know, say what you want about his humor, but...
but see, like, he's really good at, like, getting people to accidentally say the truth of how they really feel about things, you know? Like,
he's chaotic good.
There's one part where he's, like, at some, like, Proud Boys, Trump rally, some sort of thing like that. Mm-hmm. And, like, he's, like, singing a song, and it's, like really fucked up. And, like, he's getting the audience to, like, sing it back. And, like, and they keep going in on it. And it's like,
jeez. If we were a political thing...
Oh, and then the thing with Rudy Giuliani.
That's just icing on the cake. It's so good. And then if we were a political podcast, I would love to talk about all the bullshit that's been happening during the election and after the election.
This whole year in politics has been a fucking...
it's almost like an entertainment reality show that we can't get rid of. It's fucking wild. For a good while, I was just watching all this news stuff on just post-election stuff. Because I thought it was so fascinating and so, quote, entertaining in a bad way.
Speaking of politics, something that came out this year, was supposed to come out next year in the theaters, but Disney decided, you know what?
Oh,
let's put it on Disney Plus. Was Hamilton.
Yeah.
You know Hamilton. What?
It was good.
We deserved
it. What a segue.
Hamilton was good.
It was good well, it's not good politics, but it's politics that we enjoy.
Yeah.
It's Hamilton.
It's
a way to learn about our history.
Digestible.
In a good way.
In a good light. I mean, there are criticisms, and I think they're valid of Hamilton, but I thought, you know, Victoria wanted to point this out that, you know, Broadway is a very classist,
yep,
kind of elitist, you know, community, 100%. In a sense where everything is so fucking expensive, especially Hamilton. So good for Disney for being able to bring Hamilton to a general audience.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I had fun. Oh, and speaking of Disney Plus, Soul. I'm not going to spoil anything. Emily, you did a review, didn't you?
I did do a review with... can you say his YouTube channel?
We didn't do a review of Soul.
Oh, we didn't do a review
of Soul. Oh, no, you did a review of... But he did do a review of Soul.
He did do a review of Soul.
You did a review of Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman.
1984.
Which you liked, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and if
she just jumped... I was trying to go to a different movie, and she just jumped right to the end. It's fine. We can talk about Wonder Woman 1984, though.
Yeah.
If you want to hear the full review, well, a general review of the movie,
it's RJCXD official. That's the YouTube channel.
Yeah, but Soul was really good. I cried. The one critique that I think is very valid, where it kind of sucked how Disney fell into that same habit they have of putting people of color not in their bodies for a majority of the movie. And also, you kind of see it falls into that, back when we were talking about race and movies, falls into that a person of color, specifically a black man, as an angel character.
Yeah.
Quite literally. He is literally being this guardian angel to this white woman's soul.
Yep.
This white woman's soul. And he helps her throughout the movie. I mean, you could say that she helps him, but he helps her.
Yeah.
And then one critique that I saw that would have been really cool is, like, what if it was, you know, his father who passed away, and it was his soul helping his son?
Yeah.
So you have two black men helping each other, you know, break a bad cycle. Again, without any spoilers, but that's kind of like the gist of it. But other than that, it is a great movie.
Yeah.
I thought the initial scene where his soul is being introduced to this between worlds thing, I'm a sucker for psychedelic animation, and that just
hit. I literally said, y'all watch Interstellar. I said, y'all watch that movie and said, hey, look.
Look at that. But yeah, that's really good.
Write that down.
That's what they did, though. No joke.
What's the other movie?
There's other movies. So New Mutants, finally, after a movie that was supposed to come out in 2015, finally came out in 2020, so 5 years later. This movie was not meant to come out this year. It was definitely supposed to come out when it was meant to come out.
Mm-hmm. You need to watch it,
though. No, I know, but I've seen a lot of videos of it. And one, I'm very upset that they made Ileana racist. There's no need for that. She didn't have to be racist. I don't like listening to Anya Taylor-Joy say racist slurs. Didn't appreciate it at all. But anywho, they just had to put X-Men on a bad note. They had to end it on a bad note. Those fuckers.
Wait, Dark Phoenix wasn't ending on a bad
note. Know what? Dark Phoenix I could at least stomach. I can't even watch New Mutants. I don't want to hear her say racist shit.
The bad guy? Or?
No, the bad guy is the one who runs the facility. Ileana's not even a bad guy. So she's one of the New Mutants. Stuff. Because they made her racist for no reason.
Did they want her to be one of those redeemable characters?
Yeah, is that what?
No, they just made her racist.
They didn't make... Did she redeem herself and say, like, I'm not racist at the end? No,
they just made her racist.
Oh, but you haven't watched the movie, though.
So no. Everybody's videos on it, they just made her racist. There was nothing else about it. She doesn't redeem herself or anything. She's just a bitch.
Mm.
And I'm just like, cool.
You can be a bitch, but not racist.
I was like, Ileana's one of my favorites in the comics, but fuck off. All right, cool. Bill and Ted's Face the Music.
Oh, yeah.
That came out this year on VOD.
I totally forgot about that.
Mulan came out.
Oh, I don't want to. I already talked about it too much.
Tenet came out.
Tenet.
Me and John watched that.
Did you like it?
I enjoyed it very much. I like Chris Nolan movies. It's going to sound very elitist, but I don't think you have to watch it more than once if you just pay attention to the movie. But that's just me.
That was probably aimed at me.
No. That was aimed at other people.
Who had to watch Inception three times before I figured out what the hell was going on.
No. I was a little sleepy when we watched it, so I do need to watch it again, just for that reason.
But, I understand, like, how you can get very easily confused in this film. Mm-hmm. Is if you... If at any point you happen to
stop paying attention,
like if something happens to distract you, you've probably missed part of it, or you've missed something that will connect something else. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those movies you have to pay attention. You really do have to pay attention to what's going on in the screen.
And sometimes it's not even like with Christopher Nolan's movies in particular, it's not even like a lot of his stuff is confusing. It's just that
he just makes it more difficult.
Well, yeah. But like the more times you rewatch it, the more you like see the little things you didn't notice before. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of it.
I enjoyed the movie. I think it's a lot of fun. Also, Robert Pattinson, I adore him. I love him. When Aaron Taylor Johnson pops up on the screen, I literally said, "Wait, is that Aaron Taylor Johnson?" And John's like, "What the fuck?"
I probably wouldn't even know it was him.
I knew it. I know that. I know that face anywhere. And I said, "I know that face. It's Quicksilver. It's the man."
Gotcha. I was like, "Wait, I know that face."
Not Fox Quicksilver. Hmm. Marvel's Quicksilver.
Oh, I see. Gotcha.
Yeah. I was like, wait, no, two different ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Tenet was really good.
Speaking of movies that you have to, like, really pay attention. I mean, you don't really have to pay attention to this one, but this was, what's his name? Chadwick Boseman's last movie mm-hmm. that he made. Ma Riley's... God, why do I...
Do you want me to say?
Yeah, it's like Ma Riley's Black Bottom. I keep forgetting her name.
Ma Rainey's
Black Bottom.
There you go.
That's by the same person who made Fences, and you can totally tell because it has the same feeling to it. But it's actually about a real woman, Ma Rainey. Mm-hmm. And she was this big lesbian black woman who really made a name for herself in a time where that was extremely difficult. And what I loved about this movie is that when you're watching Viola Davis's performance of this woman, like this woman from the surface acts like a diva, like a true diva. And she's, you know, very selfish and blah, 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 blah. But then through her monologues and through all her little subtle actions, you actually realize, no, she's doing this because she can,
yeah,
and she should, for being a black woman in racist, you know, 20s, 30s, where she can't, like, if she's not a diva, if she's not a bitch, people will stomp all over her.
True.
And she's actually a very good, kind-hearted woman who helps her stuttering nephew get, like, a start in the music world. And it's really well done. And Chadwick Boseman, may he rest in peace, did an amazing performance. His monologues were absolutely entrancing. That's the word for it. And his last monologue, he's doing a monologue kind of saying, like, where is God? God's not here. And he's basically talking to God. And I could, knowing the context of what he was been going through around this time, it hit a lot harder.
Yeah.
Because it's not his character talking right now. It's Chadwick Boseman talking right now. And it's so good. I think that's a perfect role for him to end on for his great career.
Another movie that came out this year that's very relevant to society. Mm-hmm. Even though it's about a very older time period is The Trial of the Chicago 7 with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Michael Keaton, Sacha Baron Cohen's mm-hmm. in it. A lot of people, when they watch it, they're like, yo, you have to. It's by Aaron Sorkin, mm-hmm. king, a literal king when it comes to writing screenplays. Mm-hmm. Wrote The Social Network. He wrote Molly's Game. Wrote and directed Molly's Game. He's a literal genius. But they're like that... very relevant to what we are currently living in today in our society. Mm-hmm. Witches also came out this year on HBO Max. It's the remake of the older film. Mm-hmm. A couple other things. So a lot of movies that, like, at least came on VOD. Mank, the other...
That does not ring a bell to me.
Oh, yeah, the David Fincher movie.
David Fincher. Ah. It's on Netflix with Gary Oldman and Amanda Seyfried. Mm-hmm. Sound of Metal is a movie that John and I want to watch.
Yeah.
It's about a drummer who loses their hearing, correct?
Right, yeah, he's like starts slowly losing his hearing, so he realizes he can't play drums anymore.
I mean, does he realize that he can, but like not in the same way that...
I don't know. I have to watch the movie.
I feel like a deaf drummer could work. Could you just hear the vibrations? Or feel the vibrations? But then again, I am not a hard of hearing person, so what do I know?
Yeah. But yeah, no. There was a lot of stuff that came out this year. Mm-hmm. Probably missed some things that people really, really enjoyed.
Yeah.
There's some films that, oh God, I don't know how to pronounce them. Dang it.
And for those of you who are wondering, why is Eva not talking about anime and manga? For some reason, this whole quarantine thing, even though I had all the time in the world, I could not bring myself to watch any new anime or read any manga. I don't know why. I tried to watch The Great Pretender on Netflix. I liked the style of it because it looked like one of those stylized paintings in a In-N-Out. Like those really, you know, graphic pop arty paintings. But the story itself, it lost me. And so I can't recommend it because I didn't really like it that much. But I do love the style. I will give it points for style. And that's why I can't recommend any anime because I didn't feel it like it this year.
I get that. I understand. That's okay. No one's going to judge you.
I'll get back into anime one day.
One day.
Oh, something to look forward to in the future. Yuri on Ice is going to have its movie. Hopefully next year. They keep saying they're going to have a movie come out. And I'm just like, but when? Hopefully next year. They put out a teaser trailer.
Bad Boys for Life came out this year.
Oh, Bad Boys for Life.
Jesus. We really went through a lot this year, folks. Over the Moon came out this
year. I totally forgot to talk about Over the Moon. That movie was good. Did we talk about that on the podcast?
Nope.
No? I'll do a little while you're looking for the other thing. Over the Moon was good. Period. And it's really important, I think, for like just Asian Americans, because it just because representation matters. My only critique for the movie is that the theme of the movie is grief of losing a loved one. And I think because they meant to have that movie about that, when they finally got to that point of the movie to talk about it, it was really, really good. The writing was really good. Literally everything else, the writing was so one-dimensional. The characters were one-dimensional. The writing, the music was so-so. Forgettable, but even though I say that, the ending still made me sob. and it is a gorgeously animated movie, but I do think the movie is good, and I think it's a good kids movie, and it's just nice. It's a nice movie. I wouldn't watch it again, but I do appreciate it.
Onward also came out this year.
Yeah, Onward again, probably in the same category. Did you say this, John, where like if you don't relate to this movie, it probably doesn't hit as hard. Did you say that about Onward?
I mean, yeah, probably.
Yeah, because did you cry? Yeah, you cried.
No, I didn't cry.
No, you cried. No,
he cried.
He cried. And
I can attest to that. He cried.
I got choked up, but maybe it was because from the get-go, I was like, oh, Chris Pratt and Tom Holland. I'm so tired of them. They're overused as actors. And so I just didn't care. But also, I just didn't really care for the plot itself. When I watched the movie, it was a good Pixar movie. I think it's in the same category as The Good Dinosaur.
How could I forget about Palm Springs?
Oh, Palm Springs.
Fucking Andy Samberg, my king.
I love him.
How could I forget with Kristen Milioti?
It was produced by The Lonely Island.
Right? Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then J.K. Simmons is in it. Oh, that movie was so good.
It looks good.
It was a cool twist on the Groundhog Day thing.
Yep. It was a nice fun. Good fun. I had a good time with that. Onward, though, I did enjoy Onward.
It's a good movie. I won't watch it again because
I like to hurt myself. So sometimes I like to feel emotions. And I still cry every time. I know it's going to happen. I know what, you know, the whole point of the movie is.
I mean,
it was coming.
Pixar is good at making you feel shit.
Will cry because I like to hurt myself.
The one part of that movie I absolutely love where he's like, you need to merge. And he's like, I'm not ready. He's like, you'll never be ready. And I was like, this is written from a deep place of a California driver. He's like, I'm not ready to merge. He's like, it does not matter. Does not matter. If you're ever going to drive in California, you're never ready for anything.
Those fuckers will also run you off the goddamn road.
Mm-hmm.
They are the worst. Mm-hmm. God, it's Jesus. It's a movie that they won't.
What movie? Is it the one with the guy from Walking Dead?
Yes.
I think that technically doesn't come out till next year.
Oh, is that what the thing is?
Yeah.
Is that why? Oh, then why is everybody talking about it now?
Oh, it's called Minari?
Yes.
Oh, it says 2020.
That's why I was confused.
Yeah, but it says release date February 12th, 2021.
It's probably released at Sundance or some sort of festival. Maybe. Did they even have Sundance this year?
They did like virtual like Sundance, I think.
Okay. No Man Land is another one too. I think Portrait of a Lady on Fire is a portrait of a woman. Lady on Fire? Lady? Portrait of a woman on fire?
Did I just now I don't know anymore.
I really want to see that new Mads Mikkelsen movie.
Oh,
Another Round?
Another Round?
Yeah, Another Round. Because it's the same director of The Hunt. But this movie looks more comical.
Oh, did you watch The Hunt? That's the movie. It came out this year. It's like
different Hunt.
Not the most controversial movie of the year.
Not the one that's basically The Purge.
The Hunt is a Danish movie from like.
Oh, I see.
From like a couple years ago. Oh, from like 8 years ago. Jeez.
See, this one says the release date of Portrait of a Lady on Fire is February 14, 2020.
I think that was the wide release.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It had a limited theatrical run, I think, last year because Oscars, you know.
The Oscars. How dare they? How dare they? It was only at film festivals last year, but wide release was this year. So, if I'm going by wide release, she's my favorite movie of the year. Standing by that statement. But, yeah, no. This year, a lot of interesting things came out this year. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for next year. We'll see what's going to happen. We'll see what's going on with Warner Brothers, if they're still going to put everything on streaming services mm-hmm. or not. They probably will, since I'm not going to see that vaccine anytime soon. I say then, like, we'll probably see it by, like, the first half of the year, but mm-hmm. that's still the first half of the year. Like, just still have movies they want.
Yeah.
Release. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. No.
Yeah.
Just a very exciting year.
And if we missed anything that you guys really want to, you know, mention to us,
yeah.
Or if you guys want us to mention something in the future that you're really excited to look at in the future, contact us on our social medias.
Yeah.
Instagram and Twitter.
And TikTok.
And TikTok is Pop and Stance. And then we're also on Facebook. You can find us at Pop and Circumstance. That's all our social medias, right?
Yep.
Okay. I'm getting better at this. I'm Eva. You can find me on Instagram at BevaMart or on Twitter at Eva_BevaMart. Emily, where are you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at the Emily Gron. John?
Do you want to plug in anything, John? You don't have to if you don't feel comfortable. No.
Right. I'm on places.
He's on places.
Go find
you
him.
You can find him
if you
on
know, you know. No, shh, don't. YouTube. Let them find out.
I was trying to say Christian's YouTube. Jesus!
Oh, yes. I didn't know you're
I was trying to
help
plug.
Other people.
Yeah, I was trying to plug
yes.
Our Wonder Woman 1984 review
mm-hmm.
with Christian. The channel is
RJCXD official.
RJCXD. XD. RJCXD.
Official.
Official.
Because if you just search RJCXD, it doesn't come up at all.
You have to
do official?
Yeah, to do the full thing, no spaces.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. YouTube algorithm is weird.
And if you guys are interested in a bunch of K-pop stuff and a bunch of lesbian shit, you can find Victoria at Chubby Pink Kirby
on Twitter. Hey, she's not here. You can't plug her today.
You don't have stuff. We can plug you when you're away.
They have to find it on their own.
All right. I will do that.
As always, stay safe.
Yeah. Happy New Year.
Wear a mask.
Please don't go outside. Well, go outside, but like don't be in crowds.
Yeah.
We're at max capacity for hospitals. Please stop.
Please. LA is the highest in the whole state. In like the whole, no, not whole state, the whole country.
Country, yeah.
So please. And like Orange County's following right behind. So please. Yeah. That's for us in Southern California, but everywhere else in the world, please just stay safe.
Yeah, be smart about it. And you know, let's go into the new year with optimism. We're going to be looking forward to stuff. And, you know, as Baggio pointed out, you know, the Roaring Twenties started with the Spanish flu. So we can start another Roaring Twenties.
And
it's going to end with another depression.
Okay.
Wait, I'm not doing this well. All right,
oh, God, she's not trying to bring us down.
No.
Let's not do that.
No. Watch good stuff. Make yourself happy.
Yeah. There's more content coming this way.
Yes. So. And we're excited. I'm excited. I feel good.
All right. As always, stay safe. Bye.
Bye.